thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He alone, my friends, is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of this broadcast. He alone is the reason that we're all together right now. 3 feet from me is Brother Kevin. Good morning, Brother Kevin.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Folks, I tell you, the time is flying by. We find ourselves in March, and I was thinking 4 years ago, 4 years ago in March, this all began. And so we're pretty excited about that. And so we're about 4 years and 2 weeks into it by the time you listen to this, 3 weeks into it. But thanks. Thanks for being listeners. Some of you have been with us the whole time. We're starting off about Jesus' influence. Jesus's influence. And it continues on. We're in the last two verses of chapter 21 in the book of John. When you come back next Monday, we'll be looking at the Olivet Discourse, and we'll be moving on that way. But we had the opportunity, dear friends, to go through the entire book of John, verse by verse, with an exegetical study, looking at what God does and what he's doing for us. And so thankful for that. And so when we talk about Jesus' influence and the influence that Jesus should have in our hearts and our minds, and we're going to talk about what John has to say here in a little while after the break. But some of the messages that came to my mind was, let no man despise thy youth. Take that influence of Christ, and no matter how old you are, serve God, work for it. Don't wake up one day and not be able to do it, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And God's telling us, you know, go out there and do something. Jesus's influence continues on in our lives and many lives today. We're going to be seeing that in the book of John. And you know, we remember that fateful verse over there in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Keep your communications right. Take the influence of Christ's life so far in the book of John and live them. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We learn so much. This is all influence that Christ has on us. And I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears, from Psalm 34. Psalm 34, 6, my verse, my life verse. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So, dear friends, here we are with Jesus' influence in our life. And Kevin, when you look at the influence, what should an influence of Christ look like in our lives?
It should. I've heard it said that the influence of Christ should make us influential. And put it this way, the Bible says, some have compassion, making a difference. So just taking that as, let's make a difference in this world, let's make a difference in individuals, that difference should be because Christ made a difference with us. And there has to be a difference in you in order to make a difference in the world. And the difference that Christ makes in us is he changes our life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we have a newness about us. Well, I think the newness can be traced back, number one, to the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And number two, to what that Spirit does with our spirit. And the Spirit of God, which is a Holy Spirit, makes in us an excellent spirit. And I'm thinking about excellent spirit because it's talking about Daniel 6:3. In Daniel 6:3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was found in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So here's a man of great influence for the singular recorded characteristic was an excellent spirit. So what was this excellent spirit? I think the excellent spirit, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So an excellent spirit has to do with understanding, has to do with knowledge, has to do with kind of seeing things right, knowing what it means, understanding how it works, and then when you talk to people, being able to explain yourself in a way that they're like, you know what, that makes sense. That makes sense. What a wonderful, you know, person to talk to. And that's the difference. It's not the way we look. It's not the way we comb our hair. It's not anything about us. It's really the Spirit of Christ inside of us that is so different, and it's excellent. It excels. It excels the other people to the point, you know what, we're not vaunting anything, but they're saying, you know what, this guy, I'll bring something to the table that nobody else does. And I want to have that influence of Christ, Doug.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I was sitting here as you were talking, you used the word different several times, which is good, because I think a person with an excellent godly spirit is different. One of the marks of having an excellent spirit of being godly is you're different. You're different than other people. You live differently. You look differently. You act differently. It's a different way of living. It's a different place to be. And I think somewhere along the way, folks, I've been trying to put together a list of people, and I'll go back to Kevin on this, that have had an excellent spirit in the effect that they've had on my life. And I think the first Christian that really affected my life was a guy named Willie Vernon Watson. And you've heard the story. He died in my arms. But Willie Vernon Watson had an excellent spirit. And it was defined like this. It was 466 of us that were part of the Sergeant's Major Academy at Fort Bliss, Texas. And I got assigned to a base group 11. And there was 18 of us in my base group. And there was one guy in my base group who was different. There was one guy in my base group who was smiling. There was one guy in my base group who didn't cuss. There was one guy in my base group who was always asking everybody how they were doing. And I remember I was the class leader. They voted me to class leader. It's one of the few times you'll have a vote is at the Sergeant Major's Academy. I was the lowest ranking by date of rank person in the class, yet my class chose me to be their student class leader. And I remember one day people were fighting and yelling at each other. And I mean, it was almost ready to break out in a fist of cuffs between two people. And I went over and I broke them up and everybody went back to sitting down. And I looked over at Willie and he was different. I said, Willie, I said, why is it that you're smiling and happy and the rest of us want to kill each other? Why are you different? And I'll never forget what he said, Kevin. He looked at me and said, because if I died right now, I'd go be with my Jesus. He said, I'm a born again Christian. I can't help but be different. Yeah, and he did die. He died in my arms just a couple weeks after that. But are there people in your life that stand out with that excellent spirit?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've had two. We've done four church plants, and three of them were military churches. Two of the military churches had Sunday school teachers that they came to the church. They were young enlisted guys and young families, and one of them was named Roger out in Camp Pendleton. He came in. He was an instructor, and he instructed helicopter pilots, not on how to fly, but on the avionics and controls, and great Sunday school teacher. He came to the Bible studies we had on base. We had five Bible studies on base at one point, and just a fantastic guy. And then the other guy was Kevin. His name's Kevin Batt, and he's I'm going to see him pretty soon, Lord willing. But Kevin came in. He was a drill sergeant at Fort Benning, and so as a drill sergeant, he left Fort Benning, got married basically on the way out of drill sergeanting, and then came to Bragg, where I was at what was then Fort Bragg. And he came in he was a gung-ho soldier. He had been shot in Iraq years ago, but the bullet did not penetrate. It hit his helmet on a rooftop, and just a bad kettle of fish there. But long story short, he was very excellent spirit. He had excellent. So he carried himself like a man. He had military bearing, great military leadership skills. But he would stand up and teach with his laptop on the pulpit. He'd open it up, and he'd say, okay, today we're doing Esther. And he would just cry a lot. And I just thought, what a tender-hearted, tough-hide fellow. Lord, let me be like Kevin Batt. And he came out of a great stock of family up in Pennsylvania. and a great church. I've been to the church, preached in the church, but God used him in my life as an example, Doug, of a wound, I mean, of an excellent spirit.
Yeah, there was a lady in our church in Watertown, New York. Her last name was Bray. And I remember we went to the church one day, and it was muddy, and the boys wanted to go outside and play. And I said, you know, stay in this grass area. And there was a couple of us in the church working. And I think my boys were like, you know, maybe 8 and 5 at the time. You know, they had their boots on. You know, it was always snowing and muddy. As you went into spring, there was mud everywhere as the snow melted. And I remember I was inside the church. I was working with someone else, and the boys came in all happy. And my youngest one, you know, being 5, he just come running in. He's like, Daddy, we're having such a great time. You got to come look at the ditch. And I looked, and there was mud all the way up the floor. And when we got there, I saw Mrs. Bray shampooing and vacuuming the rug. And folks, I'm going to finish this in a second. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with you.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Anyway, to understand this story, when we showed up at the church, I got to want to go backwards, and we found Miss Bray. She had just got done vacuuming and shampooing every rug in the church. The hallway, I'd never seen it look so good. She had brought in her personal shampooer and pre-spotted, and my boy come running up the hall, my youngest one. He's like, Daddy, you got to see the ditch we built, you know. And I looked out, and it was a mud trail from the front door of the church all the way through the offices, right straight up the hall. And I said, oh, Daniel, you and Doug been playing in the mud, and Miss Bray's been vacuuming and shampooing. And I remember Miss Bray came running up to me, and she said, oh, Brother Doug, I am so glad they're playing in the church. Don't forget, this is God's house, and God's house is joyful. God's house is fun. I'm glad they played in the mud. And she says, you're not going to believe this, but I got the vacuum and the shampooer right here. I'm just going to go ahead and fix that. And she hugged my boys, took them outside, washed off their feet with a garden hose, and gave them some candy. And folks, you can't hide kindness. You can't hide love. You can't hide a good spirit. And we find ourselves finishing up chapter 21 of the book of John today. And just so exciting, the last two verses. And we've been talking about Jesus' influence and how he influences people like Miss Bray and the folks Kevin had talked about, and Willie Vernon Watson. But the Bible said, this is the disciple which testify of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that they should be written. Amen. And what a Bible verse. It says, you know, everything Christ did in his 33 years of life, his 3 years of ministry, if we were to write them all down, the author is saying, I don't think the whole earth could contain them. And that's the God we serve. So here it is, John talking to us and saying, you know, he's identifying himself as his role. He's testifying to the event. He's affirming the truthfulness. And he's talking on. And it just, you know, and then he concludes, Kevin, and I'm messed up. I love this, where he affirms and talks about, acknowledges that just this fraction. And, you know, he says, you know, there's no exaggeration here. It's just a fraction. He's saying, first of all, I want you to know, in verse 24 there, he's saying, I want you to know that everything's true. It's reliable. This is a gospel account. You can trust on it. But then he's going on to say, hey, don't bet on this, that this is everything Christ did, because it's not. It would have to fill the, I don't think everything he did could fill the whole earth. And that leaves us in this place where Jesus's work continues on. So despite the limited scope of all four Gospels, the Synoptics plus John, despite the limited scope of these, there's enough here to be saved. There's enough here to know the love of Christ. There's enough here of influence within our hearts with the Holy Spirit and stuff to take us the rest of our life, Kevin. There's enough here to see and take care of us.
Amen. What a Savior. We're talking about a Lord and Savior here who was so active. You know, the Gospels do record a lot of his actions and a lot of his words. And the words themselves are just a cross-section, just a sampling, really. Just a light sampling of what he said. In other words, you got parables, you got sermons, discourse, Olivet discourse, Sermon on the Mount. You know, all of these analogies and stories that he told, accounts that he told, whatnot. But talking about his actions, and it says that everything he said and did is true. Like you said, Doug, so well there, verse 24, it says, let's settle this right now. Everything he said and did was true. But he said in verse 24, and there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, you know, if they were all there, the world cannot contain them. And so that's just saying, you know, besides the sampling, but besides the things that, you know, God did not want to dump the whole wagon load with volume after volume after volume. He just wanted to have us a Bible that was, you know, self-contained with the necessary elements that we could dig into that and never exhaust those unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. But we also have an understanding. It's like the guy that, you know, spends his life mining a vein of gold, and he's untold riches. And then he gives his kids. He says, "You go ahead and mine it. I'll give you the claim. You can mine it." And they get to their lives run out, and they get the sense that there's no end to this thing. And John not only had that sense, he knew just being around Jesus for 3.5 years that in those 3.5 years, there were so many things that were just unbelievable. And I, you know, Doug, I can think of people that I love hearing the stories about that person. I think about in the Bible, Elisha was being talked about by a king and some other people in his court, and the king was like, "Tell me more about Elijah. I love hearing. Tell me some of his acts. Tell me some of his deeds." And they were just, you know, freaking out over everything that was done. And that was before Jesus came on the scene. Jesus came on the scene. It's like, you know, Elisha is nothing compared to Jesus. But I've known people that, Doug, you know, just if you take what sampling I've heard, it's like, I'd love to be around what that person does. He is active. Wherever he goes about doing good, he's helping people. He's giving the shirt off his back. He fixed a car alongside the road, gave some money to a homeless person. You know, just it's like the sampling I have is enough to say, I love this person. Doug, what's it going to be like when we get to heaven and find out that there's boku stuff that we're just going to, you know, let's cover the volumes that would cover the face of the earth. Let's hear more about it.
Yeah, I think heaven's going to be a surprise to us. And some of those saints who crawl in and out of our church, teach all the Sunday school classes, make a difference in life, I got to believe those are some of the first people we'll be hugging on. Those are some of the first people after we see Christ in our family. We'll be looking for those brethren who made a difference in our life. And I believe there'll be people lined up to hug the misbrays of the world. I believe that. And, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 25:21, and this is one that we should all write down and carry with us, but let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. And folks, that needs to be a prayer. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. And say, God, would you preserve me with integrity and uprightness? Can I stand? It's so easy to get off. We get hurt. We get sideways. We get used. We get abused. We get tired. We get burned out. The kids drive us crazy. The family drives us crazy. The boss drives us crazy. But I'll tell you, if our prayer can be let integrity and uprightness, even when I'm crazy, even when life is not working out the way I want it to, oh God, let me have integrity. Let me be upright. And folks, if you can take that, if you can take that to the bank, if you can say, God, every day, let integrity and uprightness, oh God, every day, let this be part of my life. I believe the Miss Brays of the world did that. I believe in somewhere in her heart, she had to look out and say, man, I got another hour's work. That 5-year-old and 8-year-old boy, they just trashed the hallway. Now, she said, this is God's house. There's joy in God's house. Kids are supposed to play in God's yard. Don't you know where you are? Hey, some of you need to get that right out there, folks. It's God's house. Let's have some fun, man. And I'll tell you, it changed my boys. To this day, you can ask them about Miss Bray. They were 5 and 8 years old. They'll be smiling so wide their ears are wet. Folks, and they're 33 going on 30, and they'll smile so wide their ears are wet. I'm telling you, God just makes a difference in their life. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Hey, it's been a pleasure going through the book of John with you.
Yes.
We're going to be over in the Olivet Discourse. We're going to be like in Matthew 24 and 25, I think, looking at the Olivet Discourse, digging in a little bit, continuing on with Names of Christ, miracles. Hang with us. Come back Monday. We can't wait to be with you. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.